You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Here's something encouraging for you from none other than Desiring God. It's a devotion I get every day on Twitter, and I get a lot of tweets by them, and headed up by John Piper. So I throw out, I hesitate sometimes to throw out pastors' names because sometimes they, you know, you're either like, oh, I'm a big fan, or oh, I'm not a fan of this, and all of that. But what they say is absolutely true. He's kind of paraphrasing what Jesus said. Life is hard. God is good. Glory is coming.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
Apparently, sleep is the most important thing. How do we get in this situation, you know? That's kind of our modern thing. And I mean, it goes back probably hundreds of years, having to get up and then be at work on time. They say train travel really caused us to be right on time. You know, the engineers, the conductors, whatever, they had the stopwatch, the pocket watch. So they were looking, they really caused us. And then we had to make sure that the, you know, time in Chicago was different from the time in New York, all that kind of stuff. Really started dividing up time and getting up and having the alarm clock go off. Thanks to the guy over in Massachusetts who invented that. Thank you very much. So now we just don't get enough sleep. All the research is in. That's one of the things. It's amazing. And there was the most famous man who actually was sleeping when others were going out of their minds because they thought the end of their life was going to happen in the next couple of minutes. They were in a storm. This is it. We knew it was going to happen. You said, go out and across the lake, and we knew this was going to happen. That's what we all feared and dreaded, and yet it is coming true, and there Jesus sleeps. What a scene that must have been. But what price would you pay for a year of perfect sleep? 1 in 4 people would break out the clippers and shave their heads. 1 in 4 would shave their heads for a perfect night's sleep every night. Wow. 1/4 of the people researched said they would exclusively eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. I'd have to think about that one. That's not that bad a deal. 22% they'd said they would only shower once a week if it meant they could have 365 nights of blissful rest. Ooh. The results found that the average person would pay over $300 for a single perfect night's sleep. Wow. It is all over the place. Our doctors are telling us, get more sleep. What would you do for a perfect night's sleep? And that's one of the reasons I have set my clock on my phone to a 24-hour clock. In other words, right now it's reading 0735, but tonight at 7:35 p.m. it'll be reading 1935. I don't know what time it is when it says 1935. I have to sit there and figure it out. But at least I'm not going to wake up at, you know, 6 o'clock at night thinking at 6 o'clock in the morning and panic and go flying out of the house.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
He talked a little, but he didn't make sense.
The Sound of Life.
There was a nurse, and maybe you know about this because it's getting a lot of news as well, too. On Sunday, Jessica Anderson broke the Guinness World Record for being the fastest woman to complete the London Marathon dressed as a nurse. All righty? Now, a marathon, which, you know, to people like me are like, why would you run? I don't drive that far. Okay, that's a different story. But she finished 22 seconds faster than the previous world record. The only problem was the criteria for the uniform is basically based on mid-20th century. It is a stereotype because you rarely see nurses dressed like this anymore. She wore, of course, the modern nurse's uniform, medical scrubs. That's what she wore. And Guinness said she's disqualified. The only thing is she knew that they didn't accept it because her in her application, she told them how she was going to be dressed. They said you have to wear a white or blue dress, a pinafore apron. So you know right away, you're like, whoa, and a white cap. That's included in the nurse's uniform. But she knew that before she raced, but she did it anyway. She said it didn't feel right, and she told the newspaper she ran anyway, with or without the official recognition. She broke the record for the fastest time wearing scrubs, which is the modern-day uniform. So whether you win or you lose or you get disqualified and then win and then lose and things, it's all about how you handle it.
The Sound of Life.
If you're honest, maybe fear would be creeping in on you, you know, and you think about maybe the safety of your family or the health of loved ones or maybe fear of a lost job or broken relationship, something like that. Thing is, when fears, worries strike, they basically reveal an untrusting heart. It's really good to read a prayer that David said and wrote down in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And how does God deliver us from our fears? When we look to him, when we trust him to be in control. David mentions a different type of fear. After that, he gives a deep respect and awe of the one who surrounds us and delivers us. We can take refuge in God because he is good. This awe of his goodness helps put out our fears, or helps put our fears, into perspective. I guess it puts them out. When we remember who God is and how much he loves us, we can relax into his peace. That's what he really wants. That's what he wants for you. In seeking the Lord, we can be delivered from our fears. Pretty cool devotional by Kayla, getting that every day from our daily bread. And, we certainly here at the Sound of Life hope that it means something to you, because God hears you. And he does not want you to live in fear. He wants you to rest in him.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
His name is Tyler, and her name is Heather. They're both 17. They're having a little fun at Villanoe Beach in Florida there. It's the senior skip day. I have no idea how you could be swimming and get 2 miles off the coast. That is incredible. I guess, that's life in Florida. You're so used to the ocean and you're out there swimming around and stuff and used to the currents and things, but a strong current had him out. And he said, while I was laying on my back, the best I could floating, I just called out, God, please don't let this be the end. I still want to see my family. Send someone to save us. That was Tyler. And he was telling the ABC News crew, now obviously they got found, the members of a boat. Now get this, this boat is sailing to New Jersey from South Florida, saw them, heard them moments later, headed toward the voices. They were shocked, the teen said, when they saw the name of the vessel. The name of the vessel, and I quote, written on the back in the best lettering possible, the Amen.
The Sound of Life.
Been a lot of people who were coming out with thoughts about the passing of Rachel Held Evans. A lot of people know her as me did on Twitter, just simply because of Twitter. I've not read one of her books, although she wrote a handful of books. And she was went to college not all that long ago. She was 37 years old. I'll tell you a little backstory. She went to college and graduated and got into journalism. She was working in a couple of newspapers. In fact, was a fantastic humorist and got an award for a humor article. And that was when she started blogging and tweeting and things and started commenting on the evangelical church. And she was taking issues with some of the things in the church. And she really got into it with a lot of big-time people that like John Piper and Ed Stetzer and, I don't know, some other big-time pastors that are on Twitter and social media. And so they would go back and forth and things. And it was kind of, a lot of people said, well, it was refreshing because it took down some of the sacred cows, you know, and it made you look at your faith and stuff. Anything like that is good. You're stirring the pot, you know, and stuff. And looking back on it, I could see that. Not that any means any one of those people didn't think that she was wrong on some issues. People said, oh, there's no doubt about it. But the thing is, here's somebody in the prime of their life. She just had a baby a year ago. They have a couple of children, very young, of course, husband and everything. And I guess she got the flu, and then she got a pretty bad infection. They gave her some strong antibiotics. And then they think her body had quite a reaction to the antibiotics. Her brain started going into these seizures and wouldn't stop. So they put her in an induced coma. That's very serious, of course. And they were trying to bring her out of that, and her brain just wouldn't stop seizing. And one of the last things that she blogged, interestingly enough, was about coming from dust and returning to dust, which we are all going to do. You know, and her husband must just be, everybody was coming out saying, listen, put aside things and just pray for her husband and her children and her family, loved ones, because so many people, you know, if you can't put aside differences in just any kind of differences, really, and pray for a human being, my goodness. So, but a lot of people have said that a lot of people came back to the church because of her writings and things, because of the way and the look she took at it. Not exactly a C.S. Lewis, I'll say that, you know, or Ravi Zacharias, who's still around. But, man, oh man, it just took everybody by surprise. Now here's the thing. What was the last thing that you tweeted about her or said about her or anybody? Maybe there's somebody that you're kind of at odds with. What, you know, how are you leaving it with them the last time you leave them? See, that's the thing that some people who are very wise have said. That's kind of the lesson to learn. Why did God take her? It's just baffling. Absolutely baffling. It's one of those things. Maybe you've got the same thing that's happened in your family. Why in the world did God do that? You know, and so you can grow from that, or you can let the enemy get inside and crack you apart from that. Pretty amazing. So, but I think the real lesson is to think that, you know, God's timing is not ours, and what God does and plans is perfect. So, we can, you know, it's just how we treat each other is very important. And, as one very famous actor said in an interview recently, he doesn't do a lot of interviews. I won't tell you who it is, but you know who it is. He said, you know, every day we get in the car and we say goodbye, see you later, honey, and we come back. But one day we're not going to.
Love your broadcast. Love your show. Love the station. God bless you guys, and thank you.
The Sound of Life.
Well, he was told that he would never live a normal life following a spinal cord injury. One man is riding his powered wheelchair 2,900 miles. No, he's not living a normal life. He's going from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. to raise money and awareness for the 6 million people and wounded service members in the United States living with paralysis. So back in 06, Jan Curry was paralyzed from the neck down after he suffered a spinal cord injury. Moved back to Los Angeles, immediately started a nonprofit organization. It's called Next Step Fitness. And he has since dedicated his entire life helping those who suffer from paralysis. Now, he has raised so far $290,000. He is headed to Washington, D.C., in the middle of the country somewhere. The goal is $500,000 by the time he arrives at Georgetown University, where that's where he went to school. He's scheduled to hit there in the next couple of days. So I hope he's getting very close. It's really cool to see what he's done. He's dedicated his life to do that. It's pretty amazing to help those people, people encouraging people, what one life can do. A very great example of God saying, you know, you take off and do this, what you feel led to do, and watch me work in your life. It's pretty awesome. I got that news story from the Good News Network.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Well, what started as a joke between Brenda Ward and a caregiver at a retirement community turned into a dream come true for the senior amputee. That happened last week. Connie, who works in Newton, said that Brenda Ward, mentioned something about, and I quote, getting on the back of a horse and riding away one day. Well, last Thursday, she was able to mount and ride a 15-year-old horse named Tug, which actually stands for Thanks Unto God. It was her first ride in 50 years. She received help from the Rising Hope team, an encouragement from her daughter, and a crowd of friends. You always got to have that crowd of friends around, and your family, and whoever else is there. You got to encourage an amputee who is getting on a horse for the first time in 50 years. Pretty cool story. And thanks to the people like Connie, who works, you know, with Brenda Ward and people like that. It's just pretty amazing to watch. I love the name of the horse. Thanks unto God. Tug.
The Sound of Life.
Before you know it, it'll be beach season. Just like sitting out there under the umbrella, listening to the waves. Maybe a little going in, you know. We're down at the beach last year at the end of the season when all the prices dropped and all the kids were back in school. Right after that, we're down in South Carolina and, don't tell anybody this, because you're not supposed to go shark fishing. But we went, did a little shark fishing, and caught a little shark. Yeah, it's neat. Neat little shark. You gotta be careful. Their teeth are sharp when they're born. So, you know, I've seen videos of people making that mistake. Cool little shark. They're nice when they're less than a foot long. When they're 17 feet long, that's a little bit different story. And they're out there. This is one of the reasons that we have decided. And I'm still thinking, why would I want to go out into the water knowing the things? And there's a lot of, and I don't mean to scare the kids or anything. Hopefully that they're in school, but there's a lot of those sand, I forgot what they're called. Anyway, there's a lot of those messing around, which is why you don't pick your feet, you slide your feet along in the sand. Anyway, that was kind of interesting. But here's the latest on sharks, by the way. There's a species of enormous sharks, some as long as small yachts. Now, that's an interesting description because I'm not real sure how big a yacht is. I wouldn't know. I mean, how big is your yacht? I don't know anybody that has a yacht, so I don't know. Not familiar with Tiger Woods. I've seen his photograph. That thing's pretty big. So what would a small yacht be? Half that size? That's huge. That's a huge shark. But they have been frequently spotted off the coast of Southern California, thank you very much, after all but vanishing decades ago. So you thought you were in the clear, but need not fear. Basking sharks, as they're called, are often called gentle giants. Uh-huh. They aren't aggressive, and they don't bite. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just if... Swimming with their mouths wide open, they're often near the surface because they're filter feeders, like a whale does, consuming tiny food like plankton. Now, Cal State Long Beach Shark Lab Director Christopher Lowe was telling the local newspaper there it's been 30 years since basking sharks have been seen in the area in large numbers. We're about ready to celebrate. And he said, no, they're there. They're the second largest known shark species, growing to be 30 feet long. 30 feet long! Although the ones seen locally, they've only been about 18 to 25 foot. You don't have to worry about them at all. They're just little. They're just small sharks, that's all. Spotted off the coast there. So, you know, I mean, but it, truthfully, the whole thing, they're okay. They don't bite. Like, I'm going to go out there and pet a 20-foot shark in the ocean. As somebody once said years ago, that's the shark's house. I stay in my house. I'm okay. I don't go in the shark's house. And what's next? They'll be spotted off the coast of New Jersey coming up.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
Well, you know, he's known for a lot of things. I mean, he's a military veteran. Unfortunately, he was a drug abuser. And then he was behind bars for a while. So, you know, he's been out on the street. He has suffered with a bipolar disorder. He has post-traumatic stress disorder. But a couple of months ago, he started cutting and scraping away grass from the pathway bricks in the park. And the city parks employees are so appreciative of the work that he's doing that they'll take it away. They're like, wow, you're doing an incredible job. His name, or the park is the Juilliard Park, and his name is Kennett, is his name. And he enjoys being outdoors, and he enjoys the physical activity. And you know what? Really cool, the satisfaction of seeing how much better the park paths look with the grass trim. There's not a man alive in this country that doesn't really take pride. I mean, you know, just in a healthy way. And you look at your yard work. You know, you cut the grass, you trimmed, you put out a little mulch and stuff, and you got it looking good. This, just the idea of doing that and being, I said it's the perfect job for a man to do, because you can look at it and see what has to be done, very clear. And you know how to do it, and you look at it, and you go, wow, that looks good. I mean, it's about as simple as you can get. It's interesting, the comments posted after the story came out, like, why did you mention that he was an ex-con, quote-unquote? You know, and he said, well, I thought it kind of added to the story. The man who posted the story said, you know, it is interesting because I've had a fantastic conversation with him. He said, you know, this man's not out there for just a couple of hours and then, you know, clean up and go home. He's just dedicated his daylight time to making this park look really beautiful. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing story. And, of course, one of the benefits to everybody involved is that he has these impromptu conversation with people who come by. And that's really always a good thing.
The Sound of Life is priceless to me.
The Sound of Life.
So yesterday afternoon, I got home and I was doing some things, and I just happened to look, and I had missed like 3 missed calls from my wife. Oh, boy. You know, and we text each other. We don't call each other. And so I knew this was, I said, you know, and you're praying, don't you get that? And right away, you just automatically go into prayer mode, which is a great thing. I mean, think about that. It really is. So then, you know, I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah. She's like, our son is going to the emergency room. Thank you for letting that out there. He works construction. He got something in his eye, and it was bothering him for a while. And so he ended up going there. Very smart move to do. So she says, I don't know if I can leave work yet or not, but I was going to try to meet him there. I want you to go meet him there or try to get in touch with him and all this. You know, she's working everything out, so I went over there, because I knew that's what she wanted me to do. You're like going, okay, that's where you're going to go. And it was fine. I love sitting in a public place with other people in pain. But no, I mean, I say that kind of in jest, but I'll tell you, we always have a great time. We have great conversations. Loving that. Remembering things, stuff, you know, talking about certain things. I was talking about something I had just seen because we watched a webinar, producer Wayne and I, and turns out manager Connie did too. And they were talking about, I said, did you know that in the 1930s that most people did not get a diamond for an engagement when they got engaged? And he goes, yeah, I just saw something about that. I was like, I almost fainted. He said, yeah, I read something about that a couple of weeks ago, and how the De Beers family just basically through marketing changed all that. And anyway, so we just connected. It was an amazing thing. So we sat there forever. Anyway, no, he went back and was watching. And I'm just thinking about the room, and it was so busy. I mean, that's the thing I think that astounds you. In the middle of an afternoon, on a Wednesday afternoon, it's just people doing this. One guy sitting there with chest pains. That really makes you comfortable. He's like, oh, man, like that. And, oh, man. And this one other woman got him. He's just sitting there having a heart attack. Can't somebody do something? And his wife said, no, it's not a heart. It's not his heart. It's something else. You know, whew, boy. I think what really got me, though, and there's a lot of this that goes on. You probably see it as well, too, especially when you're out in public. She was upset. This woman was upset. She wasn't that old. She had a little girl there with her. And I think she was talking to her husband. But, you know, she's cursing, right? I mean, the conversation's loud. She's using words that are vulgar right in front of her daughter, in front of everybody, you know. But, I mean, she's upset. She probably didn't even realize. You just kind of cringe, you know, and she just kind of ache about that. So I texted my son. I said, what are you doing, having a baby back there or something like that? What's going on? You know, he said, well, I'm getting ready to come out. He's giving me drops. So he did scratch his eye, gave him some antibiotics, and he's like, yeah, I want to. I said, stop by the house. I said, I want to get home. This guy's own apartment. I said, I want to get home for the antibiotics, wherever, because the doctor told me, he said, you're going to hate me in about 45 minutes when they wear off. So he was talking about how he uses humor. You know, when he was a little boy, people used to joke. It's hard to get through that. They used to say he was a little me, you know. So here he is all grown and everything, and he comes out and he goes, yeah, you know, it's a good thing to use humor. I use my humor on them because it lightens up their tough day, and all these people they're dealing with and everything. And I was like, Yeah, I guess he is. It's a pretty good thing. Pretty cool thing. I made the whole acid, man. I'd go to the ends of the earth with you. You're pretty cool. That's when you're proud of your kids.
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and you know, day is going to get better and better.
So we got the situation in the South Sudan, which, quite frankly, kind of forgot about because, you know, I'm not reminded of that all the time. But ever since about 2013, that what they call the civil war, quote unquote, there in the Sudan, a lot of people in the South have been fleeing over to Uganda. In fact, a million people are now refugees. And what happens is, you know, you get tensions because you got different ethnic groups. I know that's the problem in Africa and everywhere, really. They're in another country. Also, there's different refugee camps there as well. So what do? Well, a brilliant idea. Bring in radio. You know, it's always been an amazing tool since it's been used. What a gift from God it is. The bitty refugee camp. That's the one right there. You'll see the name. You'll recognize it. A group of refugee reporters are behind a radio program that broadcasts hope. How about that? With all those citizens there, they need hope. They need something solid and stuff. They face tension, as I said, and it's an amazing thing that is going on there. And it's one of the things that's relatively easy to do, but it is building peace in the area. It's kind of amazing. The program manager said the kind of peace messages that we broadcast are unifying and reconciliatory peace building messages. Wow. Looking at the current crisis we have in the South Sudan, looking at the population that is involved in this crisis, you'll find that the greater number is the youth, he said. So we also go to the youth. We ask them what message they want to pass to their fellow colleagues concerning peace. It's pretty cool. And they also help them connect with each other, you know. That's kind of the reason the Sound of Life was started back in 1985, was to connect you with churches and activities and things that were going on, and, of course, teachers. So it's a lot easier done now with social media and stuff here, but it's actually pretty cool. As the program director said, when we build unity here, we believe that this unity will be taken back home. They make it back to the South Sudan, which can make people live peacefully because we start it with ourselves as individuals, and then it extends to our neighborhood and the neighboring communities and the leaders. You'll find it goes to the highest level possible. There was a great teacher who said, starts with you inside. You spread it to your loved ones, your family, your extended family. Then it goes to your neighborhood. Neighborhood spread it around to the village, and the village spreads. You see that ripple effect there I keep talking about? So that's a great thing. Keep them in prayer there for the South Sudan refugees actually living in Uganda.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
Well, you know, I experienced this not long ago. Not to this degree where I saw a whole family have to leave the theater. I guess they got kicked out of the theater because somebody complained about the kid making loud noise and his special needs child. We've all been there and done that. Probably a lot of people in there were probably very sympathetic, but a man heard about it who could do something about it. Maybe you're the type of person that loved to do something about this. And so because family got kicked out of theater, so he said, hey, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent out the entire theater, not just for your family, but for 40 other families with special needs kids, so they could come in and watch whatever big movie it was that they were watching, you know. And so it is quite a distraction, thinking about that. And sometimes it's tough, you know, but most of the time people are sympathetic and you kind of feel like, I don't know what to do. Of course, I mean, you know, when I'm sure when it's just the right person heard it, family gets kicked out. Really? And he did that and made up for it. Maybe you could do something like that yourself. It's a pretty neat gesture. Nobody knows who the guy is.
The Sound of Life.
If I was going to say something to my mother, I think I would say, and I'm not able to say it to her face, you know what I'm saying? I would say, you don't realize how you had a good effect on me in the way that I see people. Because you were a public health nurse, in an era in the South where people, a lot of people were treated very discriminatory, very rough. It could be. And you saw that. And so you knew that and you kind of passed that on to me. So that's, you know, I think that's a really good thing. And also, and about your faith. Very cool. So that's what I would say. But she probably didn't realize that.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.